Hey there, I'm Jen Therrien, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm a former 9-to-5-er that dove into entrepreneurship 8 years ago with zero business experience. I'm a wife, mama of two young girls, boutique owner, jewelry designer, and now the proud owner and coach leading Goldie Link's Permanent Jewelry. I have a passion to empower fellow business babes. This podcast is made to equip you with everything you need to succeed, from actionable marketing steps to digging deep on your mindset. I know firsthand the heart, hard work, and let's be real, at times a struggle that makes up this amazing journey. You want to know what has enabled me to shine the brightest? Coaching plus community. Here at Goldie Links, we share openly, educate, and lift each other up. Expect to get linked with fellow PJ owners that will do just that, sprinkled with plenty of fun along the way. Competition is an old school thought, and connection is the way. Get ready to feel inspired. Welcome to the Goldie Links podcast. Hey, it's me. I'm going to jump in here real quick. Did you know you can have your own Goldie Links business? If you've been dreaming about having a successful permanent jewelry business, but you don't know where to start, or you have a permanent jewelry side hustle and want to take it to the next level and be a part of something bigger, then I would love to connect. Just go to beagoldiegirl.com, submit your info, and we can see if this is a good fit for you. So it's beagoldiegirl.com, beagoldiegirl.com. Now back to the show. You are in for a treat today. If you own a boutique, you're looking to open a boutique, even considering it, thinking it's in your near future, this is a great episode to dive into. I'm talking to Amy from Shop Catch. I met her at Suzy School, a retreat that we did last year in March of 2023. And she is just such an amazing light, a vibe of comfort, wisdom. She's so inspiring. She grew a boutique to 3 locations in 9 years. And she is just opening and starting a coaching business for boutique owners. So she is such a wealth of knowledge. If you are considering or own a boutique currently, I think she's a great person to follow. And this is an awesome episode to dive into. So enjoy. Here's Amy. Hey, Amy. I'm so happy to be here with you today. Do you want to just start this off by sharing about whatever you want to share about yourself? Who are you?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to see you again.
Yes.
I know it's been a little while.
I know.
My name's Amy DeFau, and I am a boutique owner, mom, wife. I live in Illinois, in like rural Illinois in the Midwest. I'm a Midwest girly. Yeah. So I think we connected through Suzy School, but in my day-to-day activity, I own Catch Boutique, and I'm also getting into coaching as well this year for boutique owners. But Catch Boutique started in 2015. So over the course of almost nine years, we've grown to 3 storefronts. And we also have a website that we ship worldwide. That takes the majority of my time. But yeah, I love retail. I've always had a passion for it. Before I opened the boutique, I worked in corporate retail as a financial planner and buyer. And then prior to that, I went to school for retail as well at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. So I've always had a passion for it. I love the mix of the creative side with the financials, the strategy, the numbers. That's really where I light up. I could sit into reports all day long, or I like to say like to do reporting and analytics like 3 days of the week and then do fun creative projects 2 days a week. So retail is definitely my sweet spot.
And that's why I find that so valuable, because not a lot of people love both sides of it. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, I went into business because I'm a total creative. Like I kind of jumped into it not even knowing what a profit margin was, honestly. Like, so for me to have you as somebody who I could have looked to when I first opened, because again, prior to permanent jewelry, and I mean, I had little boutique spaces and was up to 4 locations at one point. And when I had those 4 locations, I can tell you, I did not know my numbers. And I think that that's more common than not. Do you agree or no?
1,000%. And that's really what this last year has showed me, was even the boutique owners that are very successful, doing millions of dollars a year, don't have a great grasp on their financials. And it's because there isn't a lot of resources out there like teaching this stuff. And I think it is scary. Like when I was in corporate retail, I considered myself a creative and I was like, oh yeah, I think I'm going to like bounce before I get that next promotion where I have to do the planner spot, because that's not my jam. And as I started to learn bits and pieces and become more comfortable with the numbers and the equations and the financials, I realized, gosh, this isn't that hard. Like, I can definitely do that. If that person can do it, I can definitely do it.
Right.
And what I found is that there is a lot of creativity in the numbers. Like, you, once you understand it, you can manipulate certain aspects of your business to get to other scenarios. And that, there's creativity in that. And I think that that is really underestimated in this community. And like I said, it's not that difficult. Everybody has it within themselves. I think a lot of us were told when we were young girls that, like, oh, you're just not good at math, or, oh, you're so cute or pretty or creative or whatever. Like, go do that. Go do that thing that you're really good at and don't worry about the hard stuff. And so we just got into that comfort zone of going down that path because we feel good in it. But I know that the number side feels really good too. So I just want to help encourage women, especially boutique owners and retail business owners, to that they can do it. I believe in them. And I don't even know them.
Yes. No, you're so right. When I look back at my journey too, because I've honestly just recently, I would say the last 2 years, have really dove into knowing my numbers after being in business for what, 9 years as well. And like you said, there's so much power. And I think originally, yes, same. I was always like a creative. I was always the creative, thinking outside the box, silly girl growing up. I never was great at like math, science. It was just not my thing. If anything, writing, anything creative, like it was my jam, you know? And so I think I already had it set in my mind that I'm not good at this. Like, I'm not, it scared me and it was intimidating to me. But really, when I got down to it and really started looking at these things, I realized it wasn't as scary as I thought, first of all. And like you said, there's a lot of power and creativity to it, because once you know what's working for you, then you can lean into that and get more creative in that aspect. At one point, my boutique, I really wasn't strategizing what to buy. I was just buying to buy. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't looking at my numbers being like, what's doing well for me? There's so much power in that. I probably would have obviously profited at much more, made more money, been, you know, and also not feeling more in control of my business, I think too, than just kind of throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks and like constantly doing that rather than actually looking to see what was working.
Absolutely. And it's hard because a lot of retail is guesswork. There are some proven winners out there. Like, you know, every fall you're going to sell, you know, flannels. Flannels are a big idea for you. So if you start to put a plan to some of those categories or brands, you can just go in so much more confident and you don't need to go to like multiple markets throughout a season. You can sacrifice and just do one market and spend more time with your family or whatever's important to you. Go on vacation, like have some of that balance that I think we all need as small business owners. We can work all day long. Like, yeah. There's no shortage of work ethic in the like small business community, but it's like having that balance so that you don't get burnt out.
And I think like, I mean, we were speaking to Permanent Jewelers here. So just from what I think too, most people I think start a business because something, they love jewelry, something looks fun, but you're not thinking about the like number side right off the bat. You know what I mean? Even pricing, I can speak to Permanent Jewelry. There's kind of like a standard, right? That we kind of just sometimes like follow or be like, people are curious what other people are doing for their pricing. And, you know, I know it might be a little different than retail, but what do you, do you have like a, I guess, equation or something, or when it comes to pricing?
Yeah, I think it varies by category for me and brand. So apparel has very healthy margins. Jewelry has even better.
Yes.
And so I kind of look at like the category in total. And so jewelry is one of my healthiest markups, and I need that. Like, gone are the days where 50% margin could operate a retail store. Like,
I remember being told that when I first got started 9 years ago, that you just times it by two. You know what I mean? Or like, you know.
And you know, 30 years ago, that could have been enough. But now with like shipping charges, all of the things that go into owning a brick and mortar storefront location or a business, like, you just need to have healthier margins than that. And there's a couple ways to do that. One is like by the price that you charge a customer, right? But you can also get discounts on orders, and that helps you maintain a lower ticket cost to your customer. And, you know, you still make the margin. So it's definitely by category, and then kind of just what your overall expenditures are as your business. So I'd say for like a retail boutique, like a 68% markup is kind of like a goal. So if you times your wholesale cost by 2.75, like that's a good starting place. There'll be items, some items that you need to do less than that, some items that you need to do more than that. That's a good starting point.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of evens out. But like, I know even speaking to the inventory, when people talk about pricing with like, let's say the chains, this is a thing, like someone could be charging and looking at someone's pricing and kind of judging that. But really it's like, there's some people that are purchasing their chains on Etsy, which isn't true wholesale. And then, or they could be purchasing it from a wholesale supplier. And also maybe they're purchasing in total crazy bulk and they're getting a bigger cut, right? So you have to look at all those things that it's not cut and dry. Really, it's dependent on, like you said, all these things, whether or not you have these relationships with suppliers, get a discount, like you're taking advantage of these things, you know, that can play into your pricing, right?
So absolutely. Yeah.
So speaking of, well, permanent jewelry. So everyone listening is not, some might be boutique owners already, but say someone was considering opening a brick and mortar. What are some things that they should consider when doing that?
I mean, gosh, there are countless things.
I know.
I would say, first of all, like, does it work in your life? Okay. So start with like your why. Why are you doing
this? Yes.
Because if it is just to make you money, you're going to burn out quickly. Like, you have to be focused on your customer and serving them. And if this is a way to do that, then I think that that will bring you success. But you also have to look at like, what's your why? Are you doing this to earn income for your family, to have more time to spend in this area so that you can quit your other like full-time job? You know, these are all really important things. I saw a quote the other day that said, it's going to take more time and more money than you expected. And I found that to be the case with every storefront that I opened. And while I've gotten more like, I don't know, just efficient at opening them, I've learned a little bit along the way each time. There's always challenges. There's always unexpected expenses. Location is everything. Like, if you have a great location, then you're going to be golden. You want to look for something that's high traffic, and you are not the only reason why someone's driving by and stopping at that location. So, for example, a few of my boutiques, my first one is in a like historic downtown, very small town, but lots of other boutiques in the area. There's a reason for people to come downtown. That's not just my boutique. That helps. I'm in another like higher end shopping area next to a Lululemon and Anthropologie that brings natural store traffic. I would say my most successful location is right next to a hair salon. So those customers are already coming to the hair salon. They've got that appointment booked months in advance. And so they're making catch stop on during that time. Like, they're stopping at the hair salon and at the boutique. So that has been a very, very successful location for me because of the repeat traffic.
Yes. I love that.
So really important. Yeah.
Do different items and merchandise sell differently at different locations, like better, worse?
Yes. So, I mean, it varies slightly. I will say our locations in total are an hour and a half apart, with the second location being like dead in the middle between the other two. And the third location is in a college town. So our Iowa Hawkeye gear is, you know, flies over there. It doesn't really sell at our Geneseo, Illinois location. But overall, it's similar. I will say, like, the higher price point, things do better at the location that is next to Lululemon and Anthropologie, because those customers are like expecting to pay more. They know that it's a higher end area. So they would rather pay $60 for a blouse than $30 or whatever it may be. So yeah, it varies a little bit. Overall, like, we're still true to our brand. So casual Midwestern ladies, working moms, want to look good, easy, like not too risque. I don't sell like flirty, girly mini dresses, which I see other boutiques like just, they are selling like bananas. I can't sell one to save my life.
It's so just not your customer, right?
Yeah. And like on Instagram, it kind of at times looks boring, but I was like, listen, my ladies love basic tees. Like, that's fine. I'm going to sell my basic tees all day long. I don't care if Instagram thinks it's boring. Yeah.
You can always spice up a basic tee though, you know?
Yes.
With the jewelry, with the jewelry. Yes. What's one way, of course, like a location, I agree with you. Oh my gosh, is so crucial. Like not even traffic, meaning like even if you're on a busy street and yes, people are passing all the time, but foot traffic, right? But like, what is another way that you get in touch with your customer? Like what do you keep things interesting by, you know, what is some way you communicate with them?
Yeah. I mean, we're huge, or we do a lot on social. It's not like we're huge, but we're very consistent on social media, primarily on Facebook and Instagram. I decided, you know, a couple of years ago, TikTok is just not my jam personally. And I align very closely with my customer. And my customer might be on there to look for, you know, just funny things, but she's not shopping on there. And that might change, but, you know, I decided to stick with just Facebook and Instagram. And then we also have always kept an email list. We'll create original content 3 times a week, which is a lot.
That is a lot.
But send it out to our customer base. And then we have flows and automations too that are, you know, thank you emails, welcome series, that type of thing. But primarily through social media and then email. We'll do mailers a couple times a year, like a flyer or that type of thing. But it can be pretty expensive. So I'll only do that if it's like a big event.
Yeah, I have to say there is definitely consistency is so you're very consistent, which I think is amazing because honestly, one of those things, and I might have shared this week before when I DM'd you and I was like, and I still have stuff in my cart that I have from your shop. But the thing is that like everyone is for the most part really busy, right? So you might see something and you're like, oh, I like that. But then you get distracted and then you get reminded, like your reminders are so great for me. Do you have like a percentage of how much you do online versus in brick and mortar?
Yeah, actually online is only, it ranges around 20% at times, but brick and mortar is really like our jam. I think we're very good at customer service. And then the in-store shopper is very loyal. We know her. We love her. We remember what she bought a year ago and we built those relationships over time. So our in-store shopper and our brick and mortar is really like our sweet spot. It's really hard to be amazing at both. I have not met many boutique owners, if any, that have been able to be like wildly successful in both categories without like a huge team. You know, our team has been big, it's been small. We've like right now we're kind of like in this, I don't know, lull period where it's lean and we're kind of like making it work and just finding the magic in the simplicity. So I love that. But, you know, one of my things for 2024. My word for 2024 is connection. And to me, that's all about the in-store experience. And like, we have these pieces, we have these teams, like, let's really focus on that. And then the online business will come. So we're scaling back a little bit on the offering that we're having online. It'll still be great. From a customer perspective, they'd probably never realize.
Yeah.
But from a workload perspective, we're really reformatting to make to work smarter and harder.
Yeah. I think the connection piece is so, I mean, honestly, doing permanent jewelry, I know this more than ever. And even having my boutique, I didn't have like boutiques like you do brick and mortars. They were in merchant markets, right? So I wasn't there all the time. It wasn't my own brick and mortar. But I have to say, what always created a super fan, you know what I mean, of my brand was either doing in-person markets or when I would happen to be in my shop working and they'd meet me and they're like, oh my gosh, I bought so many things from here. And they just love the fact that like, oh my God, this is the person who has a shop. Like that's always special, especially starting permanent jewelry. I mean, I truly believe like, of course, business is all about relationships and connection. It solidifies it even more starting permanent jewelry because literally you have to be in front of someone to do it. Like you said, and I agree with you because both obviously brick and mortar and online, both are full-time jobs. Like if you're going to do them well, I think what's difficult with online is creating that connection. Even though we have this, like, I guess, I don't want to say false sense of connection. There is a connection online, but nothing will beat in person, in my opinion.
I think some people are very, very like energetic and dynamic online.
Yeah.
And they have this larger than life personality that really, you know, translates through the screen. And personally, I'm just a little bit like, I find myself to be way more, I don't know, just in person is kind of my thing.
I can see that. It sounds like
you're saying the same thing. So like in person, I can sell ice to an Eskimo.
Yes.
I find it to be very challenging. And so that's why it's kind of like you have to decide, like, what's your comfort zone? You know, you can't be everything to everyone. You have to pick a lane and then go in all in on that lane. You know, you don't want to put all of your eggs in one basket by any means. You need to diversify. And that's part of the reason why I did 3 stores and a website. You know, you never know when one area is going to have construction or that type of thing. It's just, it's like you got to pick what really lights you up.
Exactly. That's so important because I think we see things, so many different things online, and things look bright and shiny sometimes too. Like, oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. But when you totally put yourself in the position of it, like, really, what is that me, right? Like, is that something I would really want to do? Like you said, even having a brick and mortar, I mean, there's aspects of that are really fun, but also, I mean, you have to worry about either whether you or an employee is there every day during your opening hours. Like, these are things you have to consider. Like, is that part of your lifestyle right now? Are you able to do that? Because there was one point where I thought I wanted to do that. And I'm so glad it didn't work out because looking back, I was kind of looking at the bright and shiny parts of it versus like the realistic like work and time I would need to dedicate. And at the time I had, you know, Harper was a baby and I was barely pregnant with Goldie. And I'm like, what time did I have at that point to develop a brick and mortar, you know?
And it's hard because I think so many of us had this dream as a kid that we wanted to have a shop. And I feel bad because like we're doing that to all these little girls out there. Like, I don't want to own a boutique when I'm older. No. And I mean, that's part of the reason why I started it too. Like I left a corporate job that I was extremely successful in, moved home. That's why I did it. And I was like, well, let's just give it a shot. I never imagined that it would be this. I kind of thought it was just going to be like a little step in my journey while I figured out this corporate gig. And maybe it will be, who knows? But anyway, I think there's a lot to it. And you have to put your customer first. And so you have to say, I have seen, you know, the occasional shop was really big for a long time. And as someone that is open 6 to 7 days a week between the different stores, we hear so much customer feedback of like, well, I wanted to go to the other stores, but they weren't open. And so I think like long term, that's doing a little bit of a disservice to the customer because we're creating businesses that work for our lifestyle, but not necessarily for our customer. And so if you're thinking about opening a boutique, I would say you need to put your customers first and you need to build a team so that you are not doing it all. Like I do have a big team. I have a store manager in each location. 2 of my locations, I only go to like once or twice a month. Like I am not there doing the things. My hometown location is where my office is. So that's where I'm more present at that location and helping out. But I have leaders at each store to delegate tasks to. And then they have a team of part-time associates to help execute steaming, tagging, cleaning, all of those things. So it's definitely like a group effort. It's not me doing everything by any means. If I tried to do all of these things, even for one location, you know, it never would have lasted because I would have been so burnt out. And, you know, I don't find joy in steaming. That was the first thing I delegated.
It's so true. Yeah.
Like that's the last thing I want to do. What I enjoy is like building strategies around these amazing pieces of merchandise that I find at market that I know my customers are going to love. It's communicating these ideas to my customers and developing marketing strategies to reach them. And then when they do come in the door, having great conversations with them if I happen to be on the floor. So I enjoy a little bit more of like the strategy component. And so I need those part-time girls who are like interested in one day having their own small business and they want the experience. I'm like,
right,
great, get on in, sister. Like, here's the steamer. And you know, you kind of got to start from scratch. But I did that as, you know, a college girl. I had an internship at a boutique and I learned like, this is what you got to do. The clothes don't show up like perfectly steamed on a hanger. Like there's some
no, and that's like the stuff you don't think about. Like you said, when you're a little girl, and I think that's the stuff, like you said, that's the harsh reality, right? It's like, you just picture this beautiful little boutique and like, you don't really picture like, yeah, unboxing and hanging and tagging and like all the things that go into like the number side, all the things. Like, at least for me, I kind of look at the bright and shiny part of it. And again, it is fun. And it's, you know, of course, it's amazing and the freedom and all of it, but it's not just that. So
yeah, it's not just that, but that's with any business, right?
Exactly.
Like any business, any job, there's the pros and the cons. And if the pros outweigh, then it's totally worth doing. I mean, I wouldn't have opened more boutiques, more storefronts if I didn't love and find it rewarding, so.
Hey there, did you know that I offer a permanent jewelry membership? It's everything you need in order to scale and elevate your permanent jewelry business. Marketing scripts, Canva templates, photo, video, supplier list, support, business expert masterclasses, bonus trainings, constant discount on Goldilink's permanent jewelry supplies, and trust me, there's even more. It is updated monthly and it costs less per month than what your customer pays for one permanent bracelet. I hope to see you in there. If you're interested and want to find out more information, go to GoldilinkSociety.com. And now back to the show.
So if someone was thinking about, say they're doing permanent jewelry, they don't have a brick and mortar yet, but they are interested in offering more products. And then maybe like that is a goal of theirs to open a brick and mortar to offer permanent jewelry along with other things. What do you say would be maybe a first step for them to kind of dip their toe in and kind of see if that's what their customer wants?
Start having that conversation with your customer when you're, you know, working with them and say, just put it out to them and say like, hey, I'm thinking about having a couple more categories in here. Would you be interested in like shopping for apparel while you're in? Or are you looking for gift items, additional jewelry? I mean, I think if they're walking in to get a permanent bracelet or a permanent necklace, why wouldn't they want a pair of earrings to go with it? So having like an easy category for an add-on sale of, you know, $25 is a great way to increase your profit for the year without doing a whole lot of work. I'd say start small, test the waters, but really know who your customer is ahead of time. You know, if you're going to bring in apparel, moms wear very different clothes than the teenage girls. So who are you servicing? Who's coming in and paying for the permanent jewelry? What kind of area are you in? Don't buy for yourself. Like, that's the worst thing that you can do is just bring in a bunch of clothes that you find pretty and fun. Like, you have to know your customer and where they are going. Because personally, like, my customer doesn't want to spend a lot on a going out top that they'll wear one time. I call it a going out top. I'm showing my age. Okay.
Well, when you have young kids, going out is quite the, you know.
Go out once a year, okay? But my customer will invest in a blazer. She'll pay $150 for a blazer that she's going to wear once a week, year, or entire season. So like understanding who your customer is and like what they truly need is really important.
That's a constant lesson that I'm learning. I'm telling you, like, I don't know about you. And I've had this conversation with other people too. It's like, if I make jewelry, let's for instance, or I do buy something at market when I'm for my shop and I'm like in love with it. And I'm like, this is going to fly. And then it sits there. And like the other things I buy are the first things to sell. And I'm like, okay, obviously, like you said, I was thinking about me, like, I love this, right? But it's like funny because I do, obviously, I feel like I am my customer. But at the same time, sometimes I get caught up in just, you know, really thinking just about me and not collective, like everybody. That happens
and
a lot.
And I think that that's the lesson, one of the biggest takeaways from corporate retail. Like, I worked in like little boys' underwear. I'm not kidding. I was the little boys' underwear analyst. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I worked in boys' team apparel. I worked in young men's bottoms. Like, I had all these jobs in corporate retail that were not like my.
That you wouldn't be buying.
I was buying stuff. So I was really able to analyze the product and the numbers to see if this is what my customer wanted without having that like emotional tie to it. Now, I still fall into that trap now. You know what
of
I
course,
mean?
Like, yeah.
Certain things. And it's okay to take the risks sometimes, you know, especially now as you grow and you can, you know, if I'm buying an average of 30 units now and I see something at market that I absolutely love and I know this one other customer will love it, it's fun. Like, I might buy one pack of it. It's fine. Take that risk. Like, have a little fun. Retail is a guessing game. Like, it's science, but it's also just a guess.
Yes. And as we know, there's trends and like things that like are just hot for a while. And, you know, I fought getting scrunchies for a long time. And then I was like, okay, I got to get some scrunchies. That's what everybody wants. Okay. So this is happening.
Everybody wants scrunchies.
Granted, this was a few years ago now, but like, you know, when it just came back and I'm like, oh my God, I remember scrunchies when I was in school. Like, this is not happening, but it's happening, you know?
Yes. I know. I'm like, okay, when's Chevron going to come back? Because I might have to exit the game at that point.
We all have our limits. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Okay, so I know you've had pop-ups at your boutiques. I've seen permanent jewelry there, of course. So how did that happen? Do you have a lot of people approach you to do pop-ups? Do you have a lot of events at your boutique? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we go in waves. A lot of times people reach out to us and we've had good ones and we've had bad ones. I would say what makes a good partnership between a boutique and someone that wants to pop up is having it be mutually beneficial for both businesses. So, you know, are you promoting? Like if you are coming in as a guest for the boutique, are you helping to promote yourself or are you walking in and expecting that boutique to just bring you their customers? Because that's a quick way to not get invited back.
Right.
Because, you know, on the boutique side of things, like yes, they probably have to move around their storefront. They put a little bit of marketing behind it. Then you have to make sure the staff knows what's going on and who you are, when you're coming, if they need to move around fixtures to have a space for you. So just making sure that like if they're marketing you, you're marketing them back. You're bringing awareness to their business. And then if some places charge a fee or like charge a percentage of sales, we've tried that before. And, you know, we usually just let people come in and pop up for free. Just, you know, for me, it's like community over competition. We want to see other small businesses succeed. So we don't usually charge, but I know a lot of people do. And they are pretty steadfast and that's the way it needs to be. So
the people that you've had pop up, did they approach you like, I know it could have just been through people you know as well, but like someone you didn't know, have they physically came in and talked to you? Did they DM you? Like, was there an instance where you can think of that, like how that kind of relationship started and they were able to pop up in your place?
Yeah, I mean, a cold call will only get you so far. So I think if you're truly interested in popping up at that boutique, I would recommend going in and seeing if it's truly your vibe. It might look cute on Instagram, but if you walk in and the sales associates are total jerks, like you as a business owner don't want to go in there. So I think walking into a business and seeing if you feel like it's a good match for you from like an energy perspective, from a customer perspective, is your best bet. And then just introducing yourself, shopping around, you know, buy something, even if it's $10. It goes a long way for the boutique owner if you're showing that, like, hey, I like your business. I think you're going to like my business. Let's be friends. Let's make this happen. And that's going to get you, like, I think, a long-term successful partnership.
Agreed. I feel like if you're expecting someone to support you, you obviously, I feel like you want to support them, correct? Like, yeah, you know, so it's like just the whole idea of like how, you know, treating someone how you want to be treated. So have you had someone, like, do you have anyone that regularly pops up in your location that is like a standing relationship?
We don't. No, we've had some good and bad experiences with permanent jewelry. I can say we've tried a couple. One, the quality, we had a lot of quality issues. It was someone that was just getting started and there were quality issues. And this, you know, this I would say is a bad experience. So then our customers started reaching out to us and saying, hey, like my permanent bracelet fell off. It wasn't permanent and I lost it. What do I do? Or the like link is tarnished. Can I get a new one? And so then as the business owner, it's our reputation on the line. And so we had to do all this damage control. And then that person just ghosted us. And so that was, yeah, I mean, lesson learned. I should have known better. But we're excited. We were just moving fast. We wanted to get in on the trend. So that wasn't a great experience. And then the other person that we had, she just lived further away. So it was harder to get her in more often. But yeah, I mean, permanent jewelry definitely is a great experience. As a boutique owner, I'm looking for those experiences to bring to my customers. So it is a great opportunity, I think, for your audience to start looking to boutiques because they are looking for you. It's like a great match right now.
So has anyone ever come in and like gifted you something even or brought in their welder and said, hey, well, I'll give you a permanent bracelet here, like just so you can experience it. Have you ever had that experience?
Not with permanent jewelry, but we have with like other types of vendors, like a local candle manufacturer has gifted us stuff before. I would say it would be a great little calling card for sure.
I know. I feel like I was just trying to compare like your, you know, the people that stand out amongst the rest, I guess, like who you have established relationships. And again, that Candlemaker, whether you did end up carrying their line, I'm not sure, but like someone where you did were kind of impressed by the way they reached out and just kind of, you felt a little bit more connection to them versus someone else who just like throws you a DM and then, you know, that's it. Right. And expect a response.
Yeah, for sure. I think the DM like is today's cold call of like someone calling you on the phone, but you know, going into the boutique, introducing yourself and even offering like, hey, if you do want to pop up, like it doesn't have to be right then that you give them the bracelet, but maybe like if the pop-up happens, you can say like, I'd love to give you or your girls working their own bracelet for free or that type of thing. We did that with one. Instead of like charging her a pop-up fee, she just gave the part-time girl that was working a free bracelet. And my part-time girl loved it. She was so thrilled. And, you know, that was a good little treat.
Hey, good to know. Cause it's always like good to come from a boutique owner. People are always wondering like, how do I get in the door? Like, how do I even establish? Like, cause I know for myself and granted, I had my foot in with already being in some shops here, but it's like establishing a relationship where, you know, if they do want permanent jewelry again, you're the person they think of, you know what I mean? You almost have this relationship where people can expect me there every other month. You know, they know I'm going to be at this place and that's what I can tell people, you know? So just kind of trying to figure out how to, you know, really establish those great staple places that you have these relationships with.
Yeah. And having like asking the boutique owner, you know, if we try this and it's successful, do you think that this could be something that we do once a month or, you know, once a week or that type of thing? But as long as it's successful for the boutique owner and it's successful for you, I mean, I feel like it's just a natural like given. Why, as a boutique owner, why wouldn't I want you to come in? And it's something for me to market to my customers. It's bringing people in the door, offering a service that I, you know, I'm not able to do. So I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, just looking at it like a win-win, even if you were to buy something from that shop and you're like posting it and tagging them in your story, like things like that, that are like totally helpful. And you know, if you kind of establish that type of relationship where you're really all about win-win, like what is it doing for you and your customer and not just thinking about yourself, you know, like, yeah, what's it going to do for me?
You know, if you do that, maybe you don't have the money to spend. I would say like a $10 pair of earrings or something, like maybe you're in a higher end boutique and you don't have the money to spend on it. That's okay. Go into the dressing room, do some try-ons, take pictures, tag the boutique, post it on your social. That is another sign of like, okay, that's an olive branch. This looks like this could be a good partner for me.
And then usually your pop-ups too, let's say, do they usually supply like graphics that you can share on your stories and things, or you kind of usually create that yourself? Is it helpful for them to be supplying those things for you?
Always share your logo and your handle, like your Instagram handle or your Facebook, whatever you want to be tagged in, and then kind of gauge their marketing. And if you feel like, gosh, I have this like really strong brand presence, I want to stay true to that, provide the marketing materials to that boutique. If that boutique has a really strong brand presence and it's a little different than yours, then they might want to create their own graphics. Sometimes that boutique owner is really busy and you providing that information to her is such a gift.
Like it doesn't hurt to supply that, that's for sure.
And have a conversation with them. I mean, they're a small business owner just like you, trying to figure out, navigate, they're running a million miles a minute. So just kind of say like, what would be helpful? What can I give you? One thing that has been successful for us too, when we did the permanent jewelry, was having a sign-up sheet ahead of time. So that way people could kind of know when to come into the store if they really wanted a bracelet and they didn't have to wait.
What do you say is the biggest reason why boutiques fail? That's a big question, but what do you feel is the biggest reason that stands out?
I would say it's not worth their time anymore. You can work all day long and make zero profit if you are unintentional about your numbers. It is really, really easy to get into the rat race of the boutique world or any small business. And if you're not intentional about your numbers and like what this is supposed to be for you, you know, if you want, like, what salary do you want to make? What are the hours that you want to work? Like, set some goals. And because it's hard, like the sales go like this. Everybody thinks the retail curve is like this, and it's not. It goes like this. And you have to understand, you know, the overall sales curve of retail, right? Like January is 5% of your total year. You can't expect January to be really good because you had a great November and December. Like November and December is to crush it, right?
It's such a humbling month for sure.
Yeah. But I like January is my favorite month because yes, I get a chance to take a break. I travel, I set goals, I rest. Like it's my favorite month because I was just in go mode for 4 months.
Yeah. And it's true. You can do so many things. You can strategize for the year that month. You can send out polls and emails asking people's opinion. I mean, there's other ways you can connect with your customer if they're not buying that month.
Absolutely. Like rest, reflect, plan. It is not your go month. And I see a lot of unhealthy trends online. You know, there's a reel going out now, like, where are all my January customers at? And it's everybody dusting or like waiting for people to walk in the door. And it's like, oh, don't take that on. Like you are all of a sudden a big loser because people aren't walking in the door. Like this is January. Like think of your customer. She just spent a ton of money at Christmas. She's resting. Like give yourself some grace. Like it's not going to be your best month. It's 5% of your sales. Do some other things. There's also a trend out there that like the J months, you know, traditionally in retail, the J months are tough months, January, June, July. And there's a lot of push out there to say, like, don't let those J months be your worst months. Well, what that does is overwork us in these seasons of rest. Like, we should utilize those months when our customers' buying habits are just down a little bit and rest yourself. Because if you are in go mode 100% of the time, you're headed towards burnout. So, you know, I think having some set goals of like, what does this business mean to me? What does it mean to my customer? And having those established goals, like maybe you created your own business because you want to be done at 5 o'clock every night, pick up your kids or pick them up from school. So you're done every day at 3 o'clock and you have your part-time person come in. Like that is a win. A win doesn't always mean like success on the sales line. Like it has to be a balance between numbers and like what's important to you personally.
For sure. So, and even like tied, like also thinking like we tend to, when we're in business, even though we are human beings ourselves, to view some like one, like, okay, they are us too. In January, are you buying a ton? Are you out like shopping? You know, they're just like us, right? So it's also too, then what do I need to see during that month? And honestly, maybe that in turn that could help your sales, because if you're serving them in a way, okay, what's everyone else doing in January? Maybe you can talk about the things you offer that serve that purpose of like planning for your year or like your word of the year, like things like that, that really our people are focusing on at that time.
Right. And your customer doesn't want to be sold to 100% of the time.
Exactly. Like,
they want to know about you. They want to know what's going on in your life. They probably cheer you on if you take a vacation or say, hey, guys, I'm going to sign off for a few days. Like the Scrim algorithm isn't going to kill your business if you sign off for a few days. Let your customers know, like, I just need a little bit of a reset. Just know that I'm going to be back here and I appreciate everything that you did this past year. Like I worked so hard, but I worked for you and it's going to be successful for you. So I think the reason why boutiques fail is that they don't have goals established and they're just running themselves into the ground. And it's hard. Like it's really hard. And every year it gets harder, right? Like trends change, technology changes, laws change. I know like I'm an Illinois-based business. Like Illinois is not favorable for small businesses. So each year, you know, it's like higher pay, more benefit, things that other states aren't having to do by any means. So like it's harder every year. But, you know, if you only focus on those things, it's not worth it. Like you have to focus on the good and why it works for you.
I love that. Okay. So is there anything else that you would like to share before we close? I feel like we could talk all day long, but I know you have places to be and things to do. And also where we can find you, because like a little backstory with Amy, I met her again. She mentioned this at Susie's school last year, March, almost a year ago. I'm so happy that she's heading into this coaching. And honestly, if you are also, I even think like, even if you're not thinking about opening a boutique, a brick and mortar, I think you offer so much value. I mean, even just me, yes, I have still a small little space, but my focus now is more permanent jewelry. I'm still getting a lot of value from what you're sharing, you know, on your boutique. It's Boutique Amy. Would it share your Instagram handle real quick?
So my coaching account is boutique.coach.amy.
Okay, boutique.coach.amy. So when I met her last year, I know she was kind of grappling with coaching of some sort. And I just felt like when I met her and I'm like, yes, that's what she's meant for. You know, she has so much. It's like you have such great, again, rounded knowledge of like the creative side, the number side, the strategy, having this, like, I think this corporate retail has totally served you. And obviously having a successful boutique business, there's no doubt, versus someone who me going right from being a massage therapist to like, oh, I'm going to open a business. How fun. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and again, if I would have had someone like you to really look to, I mean, it would have been a totally different business than what I ended up developing because I didn't have the knowledge.
Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate those kind words. Yeah. So, okay. First thing, you can find my boutique page. It's at shop.catch on Instagram. Catch is K-A-T-S-C-H. It's an abbreviation of my maiden name. So it's like no one understands what it means, but it's personal to me. So at shop.catch for my boutique page and at boutique.coach.amy for my coaching page. I am working really hard on getting some content out there. I'm working on a course and then establishing like some coaching series for the boutique coach account. And I hope to get that launched in the next like 1 to 2 months. And I'm really looking forward to it. Everything's in my head. I just need to like have the time to get it out on paper and that type of thing. But yeah, I'm really excited about the coaching. Like it is just really, it's where I'm meant to be. Brings me so much energy. And I love seeing other women and business owners succeed. I'm truly like an abundant mindset person. And so I think when other boutique owners do well, we all do. And so I want to see more people succeed, both creatively and financially.
Mm-hmm. I know. And my advice to you, just being in, you know, again, talking about my past with boutiques, is if you're even thinking about it or you are looking forward to it, to be able to follow you, whether or not they are part of your course, but really just educate yourself before you take that leap. And, you know, just because it's only going to serve you. So I just think it's amazing what you're putting out there. And I truly believe you're meant for it too.
Yeah. If I can say one thing is, one thing that I wish I would have done sooner is invest in myself. I was a very frugal lady, which set me up for a lot of success because I didn't overspend in the beginning. But you can only learn so much from free resources. And once I started saying yes, that I'm worth it, and I started investing in myself with masterminds and retreats and that type of thing, I just like grew so quickly. And I'm just a much happier person for it too. I think getting just outside of that like comfort bubble that you get stuck in and really think higher level and focus on the important things in life.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I can't say that enough. I've talked about that all the time, that my life changed when I started joining masterminds and going, and it was so scary at first, like you said, the dollar amount sometimes of these things, but nothing. You can read things all day long. You can look at YouTube. Like there's so much information. We're bombarded with information all the time, as you know, but you're still inside your own head, right? So it's like when you put yourself into a room of people that like are just where you want to elevate because of the people around you, or, and someone is willing, you can be accountable to someone, like having a coach or a mentor, that's a game changer. Like I have to say, I mean, nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. You're the girl.
Thank you so much. Thank me. It's lovely.
Okay. We'll be talking to you soon and seeing you on your Instagram.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day. Well, how do you feel? I hope you found value in today's episode and you walk away feeling inspired. I would love to hear from you. Let's link up. You can find me on Instagram at Goldie Link Society. You can find out more about our permanent jewelry membership at goldielinksociety.com. Our handmade permanent jewelry supplies of connectors, chain, and more at goldielinksupplies.com. Okay, I will see you next time. Have a golden day.